Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being brought to you by Arms List. Over inside of Syria, the Druze look like they're actually starting to come a little bit over on top. And that has to do with a particular airstrike last night that ended up pissing off Jolani and a couple other of the nations around that area. But we'll get there in a little bit. Over here in the United States, it looks like we are actually threatening to arrest mayors of sanctuary cities. Can't make that crap up. Yep, got to believe that when that actually freaking comes out. And it looks like Pete Hegseth is going to be safe following Mike Waltz actually getting kicked out of office. Trump looks like he's backing up Putin, and all hell looks like it's about to break out around the world. So I hope you guys are ready for a good episode, because we've got all that plus a little bit more coming out of Gaza. It looks like we've got some of Israeli plans figured out for what they plan on doing after after they actually start pushing and clearing it out. Looks like they've actually taken some proactive steps. I got some satellite imagery that I'm going to end up showing you guys first. Before we get into all that, I just want to show you guys this.
What is the message to allies around the world? I mean, is Pete Hegseth safe at Defense Secretary? Are there other changes coming?
Well, again, I think certainly yes, Pete Hegseth is safe. And I think our cabinet secretaries, you saw yesterday the president, they're all doing a great job. On Pete in particular, I think the thing that is most underappreciated about Pete Hegseth and the great job that he's doing is we came in with the military with a serious morale problem. Recruitment and retention goals in most of the major services were way off. Pete has brought a certain esprit de corps. I think the leadership style has inspired a lot of people to join the military. We're now exceeding our recruitment goals. So yes, we've got total faith in Pete. But
So I just had to play that clip because there is a lot of, I don't know how I want to say this, misconceptions about Pete and what's kind of like going on. People are saying that Pete is up to be getting fired, and I don't think that's the case whatsoever. I think they're pretty happy with the results that they're getting. It's just kind of the way it is. Talking about rounding up freaking crooked mayors and everything else. Yep, that came out as well. And I don't understand why people are upset about this either. This seems like it would be a good thing, but a lot of people are complaining about this here in the United States of America. Check this out.
Children will be taught to love America. Children will be taught to be patriots. Children will be taught civic values for schools that want federal taxpayer funding. So as we close the Department of Education and we provide funding to states, we are going to make sure that these funds are not being used to promote communist ideology. For any nation to be successful, it cannot teach its children to hate themselves and to hate their country. So these are a few of the areas in which President Trump has fought the cancerous, communist, woke culture that was destroying this country, where we were led to believe that men were women, that women were men, that racial discrimination was good, that merit was bad, and that safety and physical security mattered less than the feelings of liberal ideologues.
I also saw that Trump had angry tweeted out that Harvard was going to end up losing its like tax exempt status. I think like that was a thing. Did you guys get your notification this morning? I'm really curious. I want to see you guys down in the comment section. Very curious whether or not you guys ended up getting your notification on whether or not I was going live. Because if you didn't, to me, that's like, I don't know, a bit of an issue. If YouTube is no longer pushing out notifications like they're supposed to, I noticed for some reason. Yep. Okay, cool. So you guys are getting your notifications. Good. And that wasn't just via the Discord, right? Like your actual like YouTube notifications. Good. You guys got them. All right. Beautiful. No, Linda Lou didn't get it. Yes. Some people did. Some people didn't. I mean, I guess that's good. So that kind of makes me smile that those are getting pushed out there. Good. That's all good stuff. Good. Okay. All right. Well, let's go ahead and continue on moving down then in that case, because I don't have to deal and or move along that path. Next thing that's going to end up coming up, and this is a huge deal, I think, that is being pushed out right now. It's kind of underreported. I don't know if you guys have seen this ship before. I ended up having to do some freaking background studies on it. This is what is called the Freedom Flotilla. Have you guys heard of this? Have you guys seen it? I'm very curious down in the comment section because I came across it today. And it's like, have you guys heard of this thing? Because right now Israel is getting accused of bombing it. Yes. Yes. Have you? I want to know. No, got the X and Discord. Okay. No early notification. Got one when stream started. Okay. Well, look, here's the deal. Nope, never seen it. Yeah, neither had I. Never seen it, never heard of it before. Turns out it is what is being called like a humanitarian aid ship. Now, this ship reportedly ended up getting hit with some drones, if you will, and it was off the coast of Malta. And for the last several years, I'm going to be honest with you, for the last, like, I don't know, I've seen things from like 2011 forward about this ship, but allegedly just last night it ended up getting freaking hit with a couple different drones off the coast of Malta, and everybody's blaming Israel for it. And the reason they're blaming Israel for it, and don't worry, I've got some images of the ship coming at you. I just wanted to show you this. This is a much older freaking video. Now this ship, all right, is technically owned by Turkey, all right? The humanitarian aid group that is operating it alleges that they own it while they're operating it. That's not how that works, unless there's some weird freaking document. But as far as the international paperwork is concerned, it's owned by Turkey. Now, for those of you who are unaware, Turkey also is being accused of putting out a false video that ended up causing HTS to want to go override and kill all of the Druze. And we're going to get into that here in a little bit. But this flotilla, it's not a flotilla, it's a freaking boat, all right, ended up getting freaking targeted. Here is the, let's start with this. So it's on its way. Let me find like the location of it for you, because I think that's what's important first. I have that as well. It was right over here off the coast of Malta, all right, somewhere in this general vicinity. I don't have the freaking grid for it. I've seen a couple different random pin drops, so I'm just going to go with this. It was over here. And what they were claiming was that they were going to be breaking the blockade and be delivering humanitarian aid over into Gaza. It's a false flag, you don't say. They said that they were going to be breaking the blockade and going into Gaza. Right. I smell bullshit all day long when you look at where this thing ended up getting hit at. Right. And the fact that it was, you know, taking on water and everything else. And so that's the start of it. Okay. Now we go back and we look at this. Let's get this.
Guys, this is an emergency. We need everyone to contact the Malta government right now. At 12:30 a.m., our ship, the Freedom Flotilla, was attacked by two drones. Explosions. You can go see the video footage on our Instagram page. Please, everybody, put pressure on the Malta government to save the crew. There's about 30 souls that had to abandon ship. The ship is on fire. There's taking water. Please, everybody, all hands on deck.
We are talking that we are here right now in Malta. We've been here for several days preparing this Freedom Flotilla to break the siege towards Gaza. So we are talking about an attack with drones in international waters in Europe. We are not saying that we are surprised by the enemy, but we need your voices more than ever.
Whoa, Brown's camp? Brown's camp? Like Brown's camp in Oregon, Brown's camp? Did I see that right? Brown's camp like Oregon? Holy cow, dude. If that's for real, that's freaking wild.
We need you to help us. We need you to contact the Maltese government and your authorities or any country, anything you can do. Just please raise your voices, because we need to save our crew. We need to make this public as soon as possible. And go watch everything we're going to post on our social media and on Freedom Flotilla social media.
Okay, so Freedom Flotilla social media. Now, I'm going to get into all of these different companies that allegedly are delivering humanitarian aid, because you wouldn't you know it, I decided to go do some background research on them as well. So this is, I can't do it. This is allegedly following the attack. There's a longer version of this video that I have, but it just shows like the fire burning in the middle of the ship, right? Like that's what it truthfully ends up showing. The other images that I have end up coming out from this morning. Let me grab those for you guys and get those on your screen of the actual deck of the ship. And what they're claiming, this is some of the damage on it, some of the damage of the conscious flotilla from two unprovoked drone attacks. Pretty interesting. Looking down over at the damage, it does appear as if it's like going straight down in. It's not an explosion coming from underneath. You can actually tell that by the way some of that metal is. So it does appear like it did get hit by something on the deck. She just called them the enemy. Right. Don't worry. We're going to get into that here in just a sec. So you can kind of see how like the metal's like bent down and in, and you've got some of the other chipping and shit like that. So surface, it looks like there was an explosion on the surface. That's what it looks like. All right. So some sort of debt took place on the surface. Yeah, we're going to start there. Here you can see another point of damage that looks like ended up taking place on the ship. Yep. And yep. They said it got hit by two. Which I'm assuming that's this other one because you have the hull of the ship right there, right? That's coming up, but it looks a little bit different than... Nope, that's the same spot. Okay, cool. So that's a much bigger hole than what it looked like, but allegedly it was taking on water. Now, I'm not sure how this ship was taking on water at this point because it would look like that the damage to this part of the ship right here, that would be about all that there is to it. There was a fire, so maybe the fire spread and caused it to take on damage. I don't know. Maybe it's some fuel. Hell, dude. No freaking idea. But clearly, it's freaking sailing, and they were screaming it was taking on water. And they were trying to get a bunch of attention that was brought to themselves. Well, they wanted attention. Now they're going to end up getting it. I am going to talk about these different companies that the Freedom Flotilla is sponsored by. So let's talk about who ends up putting aid on that particular boat for a hot sec, and a little bit of history about this freaking place. All right. So yeah, the Conscious is owned, like I said, comes out of Turkey. And so all of this allegedly took place at midnight 23 local. And then I decided to look into the companies. The maritime registration of it lists the registered owner as Mavi Marma. It's a Turkish civil society association that is headquartered in Istanbul. So that's actually who owns the ship. The public statements from the Freedom Flotilla Coalition says the vessel is owned and crewed by the coalition for the duration of the mission. That's not how the ship works. Cargo ends up coming from a couple different groups. And this is where it gets interesting. Free Gaza, Australia. Ship to Gaza, Sweden. Canadian boat to Gaza. U.S. boats to Gaza, Palestine Solidarity Alliance of South Africa, amongst some others. A little bit of background on some of them. Let's go with ships to Gaza. Oh, here we go. Canadian boat to Gaza. It was involved in a civil lawsuit in 2011. A suit in Ontario Superior Court alleged that the group and its fiscal sponsor were providing material support to Hamas. It sought to block the fundraising, and the case was dropped without any findings of wrongdoing. So the case ended up getting dropped before it went in. So Canadian boat to Gaza, there was an allegation. All I'm saying is there was an allegation that they were providing material support to Hamas, and they were one of the donors. Fox McCloud, if you're trying to pass yourself off as some sort of freedom and peace flotilla, why would you refer to the other side as the enemy? Thank you, Fox McCloud. Which brings me to my next point. U.S. boats to Gaza. Guess what? There was a political inquiry into them in 2011. U.S. House Bill H.R. 3131 demanded that the State Department probe whether the boat's backers should be named a foreign terrorist organization. The bill ended up dying in the committee. So all the way back in 2011, they were trying to figure out whether or not the United States, like the U.S. government, wanted to do a probe. Somebody had put forth the bill to look into them, whether or not they're a freaking foreign terror organization. Matt, maybe try scheduling the next live on YouTube. It sends out two different notifications for the live when you do. Also, smash the like button in the manners. You know, when it goes down to scheduling, so YouTube allows you to push out three notifications a day. So on days like today, where I'm going to plan on doing a live session, a video followed by a live session, that ends up eating all three notifications. So if I schedule something, that kills one notification. And so one of those other ones is not going to get sent out for you guys, which it'd probably be okay. Yep, it'd probably turn out okay. Breaking the blockade is a red flag. Correct. There's the other problem. It's an active war zone. And so if you are openly, and this is a very good question, which I'm going to have to research into some international law and whatnot, but if you are openly stating that you're going to break a blockade to get into Gaza, does that make you a freaking free and fair game? Because that military blockade exists for a reason, because of all the material support that gets poured into Hamas. And it's legal. So just because you call yourself a humanitarian organization doesn't mean that you can just free willy-nilly go tromping into a war zone and do whatever the hell you want. I haven't seen Israel come out and claim that they claim responsibility for this attack, but it's very interesting to me that it ended up taking place. And the type of people that end up getting in there, and this video, this is the thing, right? This video that I'm about to show you is from April of 24. And I just want you to look at these people on face value. This guy on the left is wearing a shirt that says, "I'm already against the next war." And this is when there was no famine taking place over inside Gaza. Right now, they're probably pretty hungry because Israel's been holding off on all the humanitarian supplies and all that other crap, but they are slowly having things going into Gaza. But these are the people.
On a trip to Turkey,
Weird. They're going to Turkey.
We're going to be boarding a boat as part of a freedom flotilla to go to Gaza. One of our ships has about 5,500 tons of food and medicine desperately needed in Gaza, and the other one will have hundreds of us on board coming from 30 different countries. And here are a couple of people going. John, you want to say why you're going?
John Brewer with World Beyond War. I live here in the Maryland area near D.C., and I've done absolutely everything else I can to try to mitigate this misery and violence in Gaza. I've talked to Congress people. I've been in demonstrations big and small. I've talked to the president. Everything I can do, and nothing is mitigating it enough yet. So this is the next step. Citizens have to rise up and stop the crazy violence that all our governments do.
Citizens have to rise up and stop the crazy violence that all of our governments are doing.
Like Barry, Coach Pink, free Palestine.
Just want to say,
free Palestine. Weird.
Really glad to join these lovely people today and all the work that they do. It's an honor to be here, and I think it's time that we all took a stand and took action. You know, small or big. I think it's time that we show the people of Gaza that we do care, and that people out there are coming to help.
And notice the virtue signaling with the perfect English followed by, "I hope the people of Gaza."
So anyway, we are here to say we want peace in the world, and we wanted to start with ending the U.S. government support for this massacre in Gaza, and that's why we as Americans think it's really important to take the risk to go on this boat. So
there you go. So they are going to take a risk to go on a boat. Why are they taking a risk? Because there's a freaking blockade, and that was all the way back last year. And again, you have the same type of words as she is the lady in the first video that's calling them the enemy. You have a guy screaming free Palestine, and you have a guy saying that, you know, we need to rise up in order to stop the violence. And these are the people that were heading over to do that. And so I can't imagine that anybody like that would set up some sort of a false flag attack in order to make it appear that way. I just don't see Israel sending a drone that far in order to freaking attack that stupid ship. Fox McCloud, you see, conservative men can be women. You know, I don't even know if I'd end up calling them conservative men. All right, let's go talk about Gaza for a hot sec and what's actually taking place over inside of there, because not a heck of a lot has really came out from Gaza over the last several weeks, really. It's just been really, really quiet. When I originally, they're volunteering to become hostages. No, I mean, they're volunteering to do dumb shit like they are now because they can't get in there. So if you really think about it, as like a humanitarian organization or whatever, and they're not able to deliver supplies like they're promising to everybody that's donating stuff, they have to become relevant at some point in time. And how are they going to become relevant? Well, wouldn't it be cool if you just randomly threw up a freaking false flag attack and accused, you know, somebody else? I don't know if they realize this or not, but if a drone attacked their ship, there would be drone parts on it. So if we go back, like it's not like everything just gets completely and totally obliterated. And when we look at the ship right here and we look at like the damage to the deck and everything else, I don't really see any of the blasted drone parts anywhere. And for a blast of that size to tear through metal like that, I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but in order to blast through metal of that nature, there's a couple different ways to do it. You have cutting charges, which is going to be your high grade explosives. Now, normally when you go into military munitions and things of that nature, you end up having, how do I want to say this? Like something that's just slightly stronger than TNT that ends up getting attached to them. And that ends up punching more or less like a straight hole into the ship, right? And so when we see a blast like this, and I see where it's at, and let's reference these other picks here. And let's see like where it's at. And you can see how this metal is kind of like twisted and stuff like that, and is being pushed down as it goes. This to me does not speak as one charge, like when I look at it, right? Because if this was one, like, I mean, you picture where it's at and where this sucker ended up getting detonated at, you can see how this top metal right here is all kind of like really bent down and in, like really pushed and bowed down and into the ship. And if this was one of those higher grade explosives, like I talk about, like slightly stronger than TNT, what you would expect to see is more or less like a hole punch with like tiny little curves that are bent in, not these big holes that are like bent in. Understanding as well that there is this rebar, for lack of better terms, this you know, probably like, you know, what, T-iron or something like that, that's down there supporting underneath it. But this right up top over here, just because this is underneath it, it wouldn't necessarily stop this top portion from being cut, right? It would still blast it. And what you see is you see it kind of like rolled and pushed going down into the top. So to me, this is, it's not, I don't think it's even an I-beam, to be perfectly honest with you. Because when you look at it from the side, it's not really there. But you see how that metal is kind of like wrapped and pushed down and in? It doesn't look like it got hit with something stronger than TNT. To me, that looks like it got hit with something slightly weaker than TNT, right? Like somewhere in the 0.9 range, maybe a little bit weaker. I could be wrong here, but this metal ought to be cut as well. If it was a center blast, if it got hit by two different drones, this metal, even over top of that I-beam, should be cut. When you look at the size of this hole and the size of this hole. So what that tells me, especially with this big roll, is it almost looks like it was two separate charges or a larger one. And instead of it being a more high grade explosive, what it looks like is it's a lower grade explosive because it ends up pushing everything. And when you look at the amount of roll that's being done to that metal and how far back that actually stretches going through all of it, I don't think it is. And you can see how these beams, these support beams, are kind of like bent and twisted. And all of that says it's a lower grade explosive because it's more of a pushing force than a cutting force, if that makes sense. And so if you guys are kind of into explosives like I am, I mean, that's what that speaks to me. And if you're going to have an armed drone, you're not putting that low-grade crap on there. It's a damaged beam now, correct. But it's rolled. That's the point I'm trying to make, is it had so much pushing force that it rolled it. The other ones detonate at a much quicker rate. And so it kind of like either cuts it or it blasts it or it do something else, but you see how it's rolled like that. And you see how you've got these big chunks that have been pushed in, and you know it's been pushed in as opposed to cut because of how this steel is like rolled right here. And it's the same thing on both sides. And again, what we're lacking, what we're missing from this is any of the frickin' parts and pieces of the drone. None of that shit's anywhere on the ship. I don't see it anywhere, nowhere. Nowhere do I see that on the ship. I don't. Does anybody else see drone parts on this ship? Because I sure as hell don't. No frag patterns. Thank you. None of that exists. None of it. So I personally don't think that this was a drone. And if it was a drone, I don't see the different parts and pieces of it. The type of explosives don't add up for me. None of that shit really adds up. It just doesn't. I'm sorry. Linda Liu says no. Good. So nobody else sees it. That is metal on deck, no drone. Right. So it doesn't pass muster, but a bunch of freaking what, like, my opinion, solely my opinion is that they made that shit up. That's my opinion. They made that shit up. That's what I think. All right, so let's go over and let's check out Gaza real quick, and let's go zoom in on there. Over inside of Rafah, there is like some new developments that are coming out, and it looks like over on the west side and on the east side of Rafah in southern Gaza, IDF has actually been putting in work. I think I told you guys about a week ago or so that the IDF was doing some different clearing operations in preparation, and it looked like they were, in fact, you know, I had hypothesized before Israel had gone in there about how they were going to like conduct this clearing operation because they want to rebuild it and everything else. Fox, I'm not going to go over how to sabotage a boat, bud. I'm not going to explain how to do that on here. I'm sorry. Incog Faraday came in gifting out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. So I hypothesized and said that they're going to need basically a staging area to like clear people out. And either that's going to take place on the Egyptian side or Rafah would be a good choice. And it looks like Rafah is in fact that choice that they've gone in and cut off. And so over here on the east side and over here on the west side and then over on the east side, it looks like they have actually started building 2 different camps inside of Rafah. So I got a feeling that they ended up going through and clearing out that area in order to do it. And we do have some satellite imagery. This one is from the east side. It looks like they're setting up a control point. You can see how everything's kind of been like groomed out and whatnot into where they're building it up. Does that kind of make sense for you guys? And so what it looks like is they're setting up these different staging points over inside of Rafah in order to make that happen. I've got another one as well. And this one is a little bit better showing over on the east side to where they're setting it up. And what the idea is that they're going to have these different basic like reception points to clear people, to search them. Hell, I don't know how they plan on doing this, because all of these people would need moved out. They need set up. They need to be put in temporary housing in other countries, all of that crap that they had talked about in the plan. And so they now have what appears to be 2 different staging areas over inside of Rafah. That's kind of cool that they've already got that set up. And what that signifies as well is that once all of this stuff is done being built, maybe that's what Israel is waiting on, to make sure that that reception area is set up and complete. And once that reception area is set up and complete, then they're able to get it. The other thing to note is this first one that I ended up showing you guys is right over on the west side. And it's near the Kerem Shalom crossing. And so that within itself could be a reception point for the humanitarian aid and a screening point to make sure that all of that crap is good to go to get released to everybody else. And so the way, in Matt's opinion, that this is going to end up looking is that as soon as all of that is set up and ready to go, which it's likely very, very close, is that Israel is going to have that crap set up. They're going to have some sort of an evacuation corridor. They're going to have an entry control point. And then they're going to be screening people going into this controlled space over inside of Rafah in order to move them out. Bob Tango, love you too, bud. Looks like they're going to, you know, have that all closed off and have all of that shit set in order to get pushed down and in. So I really look forward to that. And I think that is kind of going to be a big deal. And once we start seeing that in action, or once that whole thing is set up and ready to go, I'm sure Israel is going to make an announcement once they start clearing, or you're probably going to start seeing leaflets getting dropped telling people to move over to like different entry control points. Now, a couple of the issues that I see going on with that, as you have these mass amounts of people that are influxing going in there, is going to be freaking suicide attacks or different attacks on the people that are going in there. There's going to be a huge backup, you know, of all of these people that need to get screened to go in there. I would think that Israel would bring in a portion of the international community to help out. I would think that Israel might bring in some Egyptians to help out with that. Could be wrong. I would think that Israel would bring in, I don't know. But it could be security contractors. It could be a lot of work. But my main concern is that those entry control points and mass casualty events taking place down there in an attempt by Hamas to get people not to go. Because if Hamas can keep the people out in the open, then they can continue to push the narrative of genocide and that Israel is trying to kill everybody. Right? Like, that long-term plan for Gaza is still very much a thing, and they've got to get everybody in there and they've got to get them cleared. And so in doing that, you know, you're talking about roughly 2 million people. Actually, let's be honest, about 1.5 million people that are going to be wanting to go down in there and wanting to get the hell out. So we'll see what ends up happening. Oh, weird. That ends up getting freaking shut off a little bit as well. So I look forward to that. All right, let's go and talk now about the Druze and what they've been up to. This is the presidential palace over inside of Syria. It sits on a major hilltop, and Al-Julani happened to be staying there. As I told you guys yesterday, and for those of you that didn't catch the members only live, there is a lot of freaking genocide that was taking place over there. A lot. And all of that happened to be at the same time that Israel had massive fires that were taking place around the country. That's when HTS decided it would be a good idea to go and freaking ride on the Druze and go start killing them. A lot of people over in Israel rose up yesterday and demanded that the government do something about it. Well, guess what? They did. Two airstrikes took place within 500 meters of the presidential palace where Jelani was sleeping last night. And Netanyahu put out a warning and told him that Israel will not tolerate the massacring of the Druze and that they are not to go south of Damascus. And he warned them not to do it. Told them back the hell off. I told you guys that I think I showed videos yesterday morning that the Druze had like armed themselves and were going out to go and meet HTS. And Jelani stopped all of his forces from going down there, allegedly. It's also alleged that he ended up fleeing from this location and running somewhere. No idea. But two airstrikes right over there outside of the freaking presidential palace. And you can see the palace and you can see the location in which one of those airstrikes ended up taking place. I do have what appears to be some imagery coming off of that hilltop. All right, there you can see the palace and you can see where the Israeli airstrike ended up taking place up on top of the hill. Pesky says, I love it when you break down a crime scene. I feel like I'm watching NCIS or Quincy ME or any of those other cop shows that I occasionally watch. Thanks. Yeah, man. Yeah. So there you can see the freaking presidential palace on top of the hill. Then you can see where the airstrike took place. And again, allegedly two different bombs ended up getting dropped, warning them not to freaking F around. Ears warning. There's allegedly another strike somewhere over in Damascus as well, I believe, which I think is just straight up bullshit. I mean, the presidential palace is Damascus, but that's not it. So I don't know why people would throw that out there. But Jelani ended up coming out and making a statement. There you go. There's Jelani's statement on it. If any of you guys can read squiggly, have at it. I can't, so I've got to read the English translation. All right. He said that the warning strike near the presidential palace in Damascus was a dangerous escalation and added that it reflects continuation of reckless actions seeking to destabilize the country and exacerbate security crises and targets national security and the unity of the Syrian people. Bro, you cannot be flipping serious. Not a snowball's chance in hell that man can be serious at all. It absolutely blows my mind that they actually freaking think that way. It is freaking wild. Absolutely, absolutely wild. All right, guys. All right. Time for me to tell you guys about this sweet freaking deal. Armslist.com is America's firearms marketplace, unwavering in their belief of the right of the people to keep and bear arms. Armslist.com has been in the fight for Second Amendment rights, battling the Brady campaign and their cronies since their initial assault in 2013, emerging victorious. Armslist.com is not only at the forefront of the fight for your rights, it's your go-to platform to buy, sell, and trade firearms, ammo, optics, and other more locally, or tap into their nationwide network of firearms dealers. For a limited time, Armless is extending an exclusive discount to Speak the Truth listeners. Head over to armslist.com/Rob and use code Rob to get your first month of premium membership for just 99 cents. Join the fight and come and get what they want to take right now at armslist.com/Rob. All right, let's keep on trucking, ladies and gentlemen. Let's keep on trucking. Donald Trump ended up putting this out last night. He said, many of our allies and friends are celebrating May 8th as Victory Day, but we did more than any other country by far in producing a victorious result on World War II. I am hereby renaming May 8th as a Victory Day for World War II and November 11th as Victory Day for World War I. We won both wars. Nobody was close to us in terms of strength, bravery, or military brilliance, but we never celebrate anything. That's because we don't have leaders anymore that know how to do so. We are going to start celebrating our victories again. That's one heck of a statement coming from Donald Trump. Why do you think Donald Trump made that statement yesterday, ladies and gentlemen? Well, you can say insulting our allies again. You can say whatever you want, but there is a particular reason, in Matt's opinion, that he ended up putting that out there. The other day, I showed you guys the video of Zelensky threatening the freaking Victory Day parade. I believe his exact words were, Putin is worried about holding their Victory Day parade, as they should be. Yeah. And do you think Putin has canceled their Victory Day parade? No, they have not. It is 100% a slap in the face and an insult to Putin. And here's why. Yes. Number one, I think it's a little bit weird because, you know, calling it victory for World War II, this is Donald Trump's angry tweets. Like, somebody really needs to check on them for him, because World War II wasn't a victory yet. That was just like VE Day, basically, like victory in Europe, right? But we still had the war going on over in the Pacific. Obviously, World War II was not won at that point. So I'm just going to point out that obvious mistake in his freaking statement. One of the major contributing factors that most World War II historians will give you was that there was two major mistakes that Russia ended up, or I'm sorry, that the Nazis ended up making that caused them to lose World War II. And one of the big ones was invading Russia in the wintertime and outrunning their freaking supply lines, causing most of their troops to freeze, die, and you had literal examples of cannibalism that were taking place. There was people so tweaked out within the Russian military, because they used to give them freaking like meth, right? Basically meth, they literally resulted to freaking cannibalism. There's stories about, people finding these Russian troops and stuff off in the freaking woods, just doing some weird shit, hiding up in the trees. Anyways, long story short, the reason Russia was so successful, and they had major battles, battles of Stalingrad is a great example, major battles that were taking place. They ended up having a bunch of guns getting dropped off to them, and nobody asked where those guns came from. Those guns came from the United States of America, our Lend-Lease program, and we ended up going in and dropping them off to the Russians in order to help them get there, right? And so is Trump wrong in stating that the U.S. was one of the major factors? No, it's not. I think we were a major freaking player in World War II, is correct. However, to me, this is a troll on Putin, because Putin is still planning on conducting the Victory Day parade, May 9th parade to be held despite Kiev's threats by the Kremlin. Now, I want you to think. Moscow, April 30th. The Victory Parade in Moscow will take place despite Kiev's threats, and Russia will watch the event with pride, according to a Kremlin spokesperson. Zelensky makes many various statements, mostly unsuccessful ones. The parade will take place and we will watch it with pride, he said in response to a question on the Kremlin stance over the Ukrainian authorities' threats towards the event. Earlier, Zelensky said that Ukraine was determining Russia's pressure points to encourage Moscow to engage in diplomacy, adding that Moscow should be worried about holding the Victory Day parade. Those pressure points he was talking about were economic sanctions, trying to figure out what those pressure points would be, not necessarily militarily speaking. Christopher Hinkliff coming in, gifting out five. Greatly appreciate you, friend. So what does that mean? Well, that means more than likely that Ukraine is going to continue to ramp up. As far as Putin's statement on the event, here's what he said. This also comes from TASS. In Soviet times, people often use words from the song to refer to this holiday. It is a holiday that makes you tearful. First of all, it is definitively a holiday because Victory Day and everything that happened during the Second World War, or as we say, the Great Patriotic War, is, of course, a triumph of our people, a triumph of the Soviet people and the Russian people. According to Putin, Victory Day on May 9th is a special day for the entire country and almost every single family. So if you think about it, if Zelensky is actually credibly going to end up threatening it and actually end up striking it, that is going to be a huge freaking blow to Putin and the people. He does not want to let freaking like Zelensky win. And it makes sense to me if you really think about like Putin's beliefs and where he's going to go, he would look weak as shit if he would have canceled the Victory Day parade. And I don't think he wants that. He can't look weak. He can't let Zelensky win. So he's going to continue to hold the Victory Day parade. All of that is going to end up being a huge, huge pain in the freaking butt. Yeah. Now there's another issue that ends up coming out. Number one, when it goes to the spicy flu, China is now accusing the U.S. of the ones that ended up leaking the spicy flu, not the freaking labs over in Wuhan. So wait for the left to start pushing that narrative. I'm just telling you right now, that's already coming out. And they're going to start pushing that it was on Ukraine. And they're going to be using this clip that I'm about to play here as one of likely the driving factors behind the entire thing. Just wait for it. Just wait.
The reason why this is so important is not just what happened in the past. It's because this gain of function research is happening in biolabs around the world. I got attacked, and I think you saw this. We've probably talked about it on your show before, when I warned against U.S.-funded biolabs in Ukraine when the Russia-Ukraine war kicked off for this very reason. Who knows what kinds of pathogens are in these labs and if released could create another COVID-like pandemic. And for that, I was called a Russian asset. You're, you know, trumpeting Putin's talking points, all of this nonsense. Simply for speaking the truth and stating facts that, by the way, are still on U.S. Embassy Ukraine's website today about how the U.S. has funded these biolabs in Ukraine. But in order to, my point is, in order to prevent another COVID-like pandemic or another major health incident that could affect us in the world, we have to end this gain of function research and provide the evidence that shows exactly why and how it's in our best.
So there you have it. Tulsi Gabbard just came out and said that those biolabs were actually a thing over inside of Ukraine. She just came out and she just openly stated it. She just said the biolabs were a thing over inside of Ukraine. I don't know what to tell you guys. It's a thing. She leaked the leaked video was blocked in hours when I shared it in late Feb. Oh, yeah. So I bet dollars to donuts that somebody, and I don't know what group is going to end up using it, but I have a feeling that it's kind of odd that I come across this video and this clip of Tulsi being interviewed by Megyn Kelly the same day that China comes out and accuses the United States of freaking leaking, you know, COVID. So it's odd to me that that's actually a thing and that's going to be coming out. And I think that this is going to be part of that new disinformation campaign that's going to try to like rip America apart. And I feel like it's going to be it's going to happen. Like I'm telling you right now, the left is going to eat that shit up. And the right's probably going to end up eating it up too. What do I think about Tulsi? I find it kind of odd that she stood in front of Congress the Senate and tried to tell the Senate that despite the facts that we know that Iran has 60% enriched uranium, over 600 pounds worth of it. Despite all of their statements from last year talking about everything else, despite all of that, that she doesn't feel that they are moving towards nuclear capabilities, as if there's a reason for that. And then we had a rep from the DOD that ended up coming up and stating, no, that is what they're doing. I'm not a big fan just based on that alone. I think there's overwhelming evidence that Iran is attempting to build nuclear weapons. I think there's overwhelming evidence that they are in violation or in non-compliance with the NPT. I think there's overwhelming evidence that they are funding terrorism throughout the Middle East. I think there's overwhelming evidence that Iran has been directly responsible via their proxy forces for wounding over 180 U.S. service members across the Middle East and U.S. contractors over the last year. And I think that's something that should not go unanswered. there's people saying, I don't understand what the big deal is. Why would we want to go after Iran? It's a huge problem, right? Americans don't know that multiple U.S. service members got killed over the last year. Americans don't know that hundreds of U.S. service members got wounded in the Middle East last year. And Americans do not understand the actual threat that Iran poses. You know, when I looked and I started thinking about it, I put out this map yesterday and I talked about it on last night's Members Only Live about the threat that Syria currently is. Because I if you guys didn't see the video that I posted yesterday, you need to go watch it, because it talks about Jelani and it talks about like kind of where he came from and why he's a problem. And I think I've came up with a reason why the Biden admin didn't necessarily back Jelani, really, right? But they did remove the bounty on him and go over and have those talks. This is the most up-to-date map that I could find on current territory that HTS holds. And you can see it's a decent amount of the populated region over inside Syria. These metal-looking boxes, these are suspected chemical weapons depots. And you can see that there's two depots over here, this one and this one. And I couldn't find any record of these depots. I ended up compiling this map together. This one, the colored map, ends up coming from NSW of the terrain that HTS holds. And then all of the other chemical weapons depots comes from various reports from international intel communities and things like that from where we thought they were, right? The other thing is these little bottles. These bottles are chem weapon labs, okay? These two areas, this area up over here, this was reported as Israeli airstrikes back in December. You guys remember when I told you about Israel was conducting airstrikes to take those suckers out, and we were really hoping that they were going to get taken out? International organization that is for the, I forget what the hell the source was that I ended up using, but I'd have to go bring it up. Very reputable source. Ends up stating that even after Israel conducted that bombing campaign, that there's still over 100 depots and or laboratories that remain active over inside of Syria. And these are some of the ones that are publicly known, right? You can see this one like over inside of Homs. There's another one to the city just to the north of it, another one up by Aleppo. Israel ended up doing some bombing in and around Damascus. They did bombing up over here near like Russian and U.S. naval bases, right? Took out those chemical weapon depots. They raided a couple down here. They did a lot of bombing down in the south, right? They did a lot of bombing over in Damascus when it came to chemical weapons depots. But Jelani still has a lot of them. That within itself is an issue. And this to me is one of those things that I would have also expected Tulsi Gabbard to come out with at this point. I would have also expected any members of this administration to come out with and start talking about Jelani in this manner. And my issue is that we ended up having U.S. troops pull out. We've got reports that the U.S. troops have now pulled out of over here. This territory for the SDF or the Syrian Defense Forces, that's all over here in purple, that's up over in the top. These are the people that USSOF was working with, allegedly, right? And so we end up pulling out and going back over. And we do that likely because we're about to bomb Iran. And if Iran is going to launch any sort of weapons at our troops, we want to make sure they're under the cover of, you know, the Patriots. And so likely we ended up pulling them out because Iran's going to have intel on where those troops are at. So we end up like pulling them back. And with Jelani marching south of Damascus and then getting threatened by Israel, don't freaking do that. I think their next step is going to be heading over towards the SDF. That no longer has U.S. backing. And I think that Jelani is going to look at this as a little window. And I kind of wish that Tulsi or the SecDef or, anybody would talk about the fact that the guy who Biden basically like platformed, who is a terrorist, who wants to establish Sharia law across all of Syria, who has a bloodline directly linked to Muhammad, is likely going to start the next caliphate, and it's going to be ISIS 2.0. and that all of these chemical weapons are probably going to end up getting used in order to freaking massacre people. In the members only live last night, I ended up stating that in the last 48 hours, I think I've seen more bodies than I've seen in a very long time. The amount of people that have been like shot and killed, like literally rounded up, shot and killed, is flipping disgusting. International community ended up buying Jelani hook, line, and sinker. U.S. gave itself a black eye by even talking to that guy. He's a freaking terrorist. He's a designated foreign terrorist. And HTS is also a designated FTO, foreign terrorist organization by the U.S. And we allowed a designated FTO that's being led by a designated terrorist to have control of like 100 chemical weapon freaking stockpiles in our government platform, the guy. It's absurd. And now they're massacring people and committing a genocide. That to me is one of the biggest issues that is not being addressed. Because once he ends up, I think once the international community kind of forgets that he exists is when he's going to establish his caliphate. All he has to do is claim it. He's got the bloodline. He's got plenty of fighters that are behind him. He's in control of military hardware. This to me is worse than Baghdadi. He split from Baghdadi because he didn't agree in an international jihad, right? He wanted to keep it like Syrian centric. That's where he wanted the caliphate to be. And then I realized something because I can think like a nut job. Jelani was answering to al-Baghdadi at the time that al-Baghdadi wanted to ball up the al-Nusra Front and AQI or al-Qaeda in Iraq and form ISIS. That's what happened. So ANF, al-Baghdadi, Bakar al-Baghdadi, who died like a dog, right, said that AQI and the al-Nusra Front were going to come together, and that was going to be ISIS. And Baghdadi was leading the Jelani was leading the al-Nusra Front. And Jelani, with a bloodline going directly to Muhammad, he probably thought that he wanted to be a top contender to run the caliphate. Because if you really think about it, he would have been able to do that underneath Baghdadi, because Baghdadi was his boss. And so Baghdadi's like, screw that, I'm going to claim this shit, and I'm going to end up running it, right? But Jelani wouldn't have been able to do that. And so Jelani ends up going over and he ends up doing his little like preaching and he ends up gaining control of numerous like FTOs over inside of freaking or terror orgs, little jihadi groups over inside of Syria, and he can bring them all together. And he brought them together under the principle of overthrowing the Assad regime and establishing a government based on Sharia law. And if he does that, and he's successful on having that on an international platform, and these foreign governments end up buying into his bullshit, and he claims the bloodline, which I had to do some deep research to figure it out. Father wrote a book, and in the book, his father claims the bloodline. So Jelani can claim the bloodline, right? If he does that, then you're going to have a new Islamic caliphate in control of a country with WMDs that's out there massacring people, and they're on the border with Israel. Now, how many people do you think would flood into Syria for that? How many people do you think would flood into Syria for that? And how big and how rapidly do you think that's going to grow if that actually happens as a legitimate nation? That's my major concern. Like, yeah, I'm worried about Iran having WMDs, right? But she is comprised of like, what, freaking 20% of the population of Islam? Sunnis, 80. Right? So how much support do you think this nut job is going to get when he ends up getting it? How many people do you think are going to pour in? Now, in Jelani's defense, he didn't necessarily accept foreign fighters when he started ANF and started getting into it. He did for a little while, and then he ended up shutting off the foreign fighters because he wanted it to remain a Syrian problem. He wanted to go and handle Assad by himself with Syrians. And he's now done that. And he's now in charge of all of this. And he's now massacring people. I hope you guys see what's happening. I'm just throwing it out there for you. Now, on a plus side over here in the United States of America, on the plus side, look forward to it.
So, the president signed an executive order just this week threatening to defund sanctuary cities for their policies. Why not just arrest the leaders who are harboring and shielding illegal aliens, actually terrorists, from deportation?
Wait to see what's coming.
Wait till you see what's coming, he says.
So, the president signed an executive order just this week threatening to defund sanctuary cities for their policies. Why not just arrest the leaders who are harboring and shielding illegal aliens, actually terrorists, from deportation?
Wait till you see what's coming.
Wait till you see what's coming. Yeah, baby. So, that to me... That to me says that we're about to go around and start arresting mayors now, and like for basically violating federal law. And I think that if that happens, these calls of like a radical Nazi regime are going to get even crazier. Like God forbid we arrest crooked judges, but can you imagine what's going to happen when like the mayors that declare them sanctuary cities and like basically violate federal law and are forbidding DHS from doing their job and federal agents from doing their job against terrorists? I mean, they could technically slap them with like supporting terrorism, harboring terrorism, and all sorts of crap for doing that. So, yeah, in my opinion, that's going to be one of those things. It's going to happen. I think it's just going down. You guys stay tuned because seriously, make sure your notification bells are turned on. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Make sure you're doing all of the right things. If you're a true supporter, make sure you're in the Discord because all of this stuff is likely going to go down. I think the time frame on Iran is pretty much imminent. Could go down this weekend. It could go down next week. But we're rolling up on that like deadline, right? We've got about 3 days to go until 60 days has passed since Trump sent the letter. Alleged delivery of it took place sometime around the 11th. And it all coincides with the Victory Day parade and, you know, Trump declaring Victory Day and all this other crap that's going on. I think the time's near. And the SecDef just threatened Iran 2 days ago, like 36 hours ago. So with the threats from the SecDef, everything in line, I think that we are very, very close to that strike taking place. And as soon as that strike takes place, I feel like everything basically is just going to pop off. So as soon as that strike goes down, ladies and gentlemen, just wait for it. Just wait because it is coming. I will see you guys here in a little bit. Like I said, I'm going to do my best to drop a vid. I said I was going to drop another one in support of Angry Cops. I wanted to make sure that I had the research and everything done appropriately on that before I end up throwing everything out on judges and attorney generals and all of that other crap. So now that I have that, that's what I'm looking forward to putting together.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.